Well, it's a privilege to be with you this morning. Pastor Terry, thank you first of all and your church here for all that you do to support us. Without you, your support, we wouldn't be able to do what we're doing down in Chihuahua City, Mexico. First of all, this is my family, if you would put that picture up there. This is my family, my wife and my four daughters, and we went down to Chihuahua about 4 years ago, 3.5 years ago, to plant a church. And we are church planting missionaries sent out from Colorado, Rocky Mountain Calvary in Colorado Springs. And we went down there 3.5 years ago to plant this church, and it's been awesome. We have a solid body of believers down there in Chihuahua. Really cool what God's doing with our body of believers. They're maturing. They're starting to grow. You can kind of go into the other slides there as you continue. But this body of believers is growing, they're maturing, and God is doing an awesome work. It's not always easy to plant a church and to feed the sheep and to care for them, but there are a lot of them are young believers, a lot of youth and young adults in our church. But what's really exciting about them is they're hungry. They're hungry to learn and to grow. We have a cafe ministry. This cafe ministry is called Cafe 1040, which is really beginning to really grow. And it's really exciting to see what God's doing. We have a lot of young youth and young adults that hang out at the cafe, and they begin to have fellowship. They're starting to have Bible studies there and to share their lives with each other and to share the gospel with the people that live in Chihuahua. Another reason we went to Chihuahua, me and my family, is that we felt the call to begin a ministry called Lightshine, which is a ministry to the indigenous Tarahumara children and families. And we believe that we can reach those children through reaching those children, we can reach the next generation. Right now, we minister to over 150 Tarahumara children and mestizo children through a program, a three-hour program, twice a week there in Chihuahua, in two of the poorest communities in Chihuahua. It's an incredible ministry that God's given us, and we're reaching these unreached children, unreached families, Tarahumara families that are very special to the Lord. Over the past 3 years, we have seen God transform these children's lives through God's love and through His truth. And we have seen Him take these little ones from hopelessness to helping them understand who they are in Christ. It's beautiful to see what God does with a little life and a changed life. Incredible things God's doing through this ministry. And if you would pray for us, we are hoping to this next year begin a halfway house for the really troubled and abused children, the abused kids of our program in Lightshine. And it would be a large undertaking, and we're praying for others to be called to be a part of that and to take part in that type of ministry. So if you would be praying for us. But that's a little bit about what God's doing in Chihuahua, down in Chihuahua. Please be praying for us. It's not always easy down there. You hear things up here on the TV and those things, and actually the violence is really calmed down, and things are safe right now, I believe, in Chihuahua. But be praying for us. But I'm excited to be with you this morning I want to kind of transition because I believe that God has some special things that He wants to share with you this morning through His Word. So if you would with me, would you bow your heads with me as we go to the Lord in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for this opportunity to come before You. Lord, we know how special Your Word is. And Lord, there are those in this world that have no knowledge of it. They've never read it for themselves. They've never touched one. They don't even have it in their language. And Lord, we get it. We have it in our hands right now. And Lord, we treasure that. God, thank You for saving us. Thank You for finding us when we were lost. Father, would You come and would You speak to us through the power of Your Spirit? Would You allow Your Word to penetrate our hearts and challenge us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Before I graduated high school, I signed up for a mission trip to Honduras. 3 months later, I found myself in the middle of that country, looking into the eyes of the village people that had no hope after this life. Everything I had known in my head had gone to my heart. That mission trip ruined me. If you've ever gone on a mission trip, you know what I'm talking about. I realized that life, this life, was about bringing glory to the Lord. I had tasted the sweetness of God in a way that spoiled my spiritual appetite for anything less. Since then, I have traveled to over 35 different countries, and I have personally seen thousands and thousands of people get saved. What happened to me in 1989 raises the hope that the same thing is going to happen to some of you. As you step out in faith, as you trust the Lord and answer the call to the Great Commission. This morning, I want to talk about missions. But before I dive into the subject, I want to ask you a question. Why? Why missions? Why go through all the effort and all the trouble of leaving your nice, comfortable country to preach the gospel all around the world? Why do it? After all, it requires an enormous amount of work and money to send missionaries to other countries, besides with all the lost people right here in the U.S. Why? Think about that for a second. Why? That question has many right answers, and some I will touch on today. Before we move on, let me define biblical missions. Biblical missions is taking the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to those who have never heard and haven't been saved. That's biblical missions. Biblical missions is not feeding the poor, although that's great. Biblical missions is not helping the starving children of the world, though that's a wonderful thing. Biblical missions is not sending doctors and teachers to unfortunate countries. Biblical missions is not helping your mother or your wayward child. That's your duty as a Christian. But that's not missions. The only way that any of those things that I've just mentioned become missions is that they are used as tools to bring the saving gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost. the lost. Consider these statistics with me. Over a third of the world of the population on planet Earth today are out of the reach of the gospel. A third of the world. And the only way they'll hear it is if someone goes into them, because they live somewhere where there's few or no witnessing believers among them. Approximately 7 billion people live on planet Earth today. 3 billion live in the 1040 window. There's a window it's called the 1040 window, and it stretches from North Africa all the way across to Indonesia. This window contains, in this window, there's 3 billion people. 85% of those people are the poorest people in the world. An estimated 78% of the 1040 window's residents have never heard the gospel, not even once. How many times can we hear it a day? We can turn on the radio. We can turn on the TV and hear the gospel. There are approximately 16,000 people groups, ethnic groups, that speak their own language in the world today. 5,800 of them are out of the reach of the gospel right now. How will they know? That makes up a 40% of the population of the world today, approximately. Maybe a little less. Maybe 38%. Yet, this is what's staggering. Listen to this. Less than 10% of the church at large are actually being a witness for Christ. 10% of the church body, the body of Christ, is actually telling people about Him. 10%. And yet, inside that 10%, 0.5% of those witnessing are missionaries inside those areas that I was just talking about. Wow. The facts speak for themselves and they're clear. Missions is just not very important to the church at large. Now, I don't want to get emotional on you guys. I'm not trying to push you or trying to, you know, make you become something that God hasn't called you to be. But I want to challenge you this morning. Why? Why missions? Why bother at all? Especially when the prevailing trend in our culture is to move towards safety and ease, isn't it? It's what society tells you, the media tells you. Towards comfort. Think about yourself. The media pumps, you know, think about you. Think about your comfort and your pleasure. In our society, there is a massive pressure to move away from anything that might cost our comfort, be too dangerous or difficult, or might require too much self-sacrifice. In fact, those who do anything against the cultural norm are looking out at themselves, are usually considered fanatical or weird. Those that think of others first. So why missions? Why go? The answer is this. Because. Because God is a missionary God. Because salvation is found only in Jesus Christ, and there is no other name under heaven given to man by which we must be saved. Because missions is in your own best interest, and because God says go. First, because God is a missionary God. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 1 with me this morning. Mark chapter 1, we're going to look at verse 16 through 18 for a moment. I usually take us through a text when I teach, but this morning I'm going to be jumping around a little bit, so we'll get our fingers busy in the Word this morning. Mark chapter 1, verse 16 says this. And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, this is Jesus, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, and they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And they immediately left their nets and followed him. These are the first recorded words that Jesus spoke to his soon-to-be disciples. And in the very same breath that Jesus said, "Come follow me," he also said, "I will make you become fishers of men." In the same very same sentence that he called his disciples into relationship, he called them into mission. Following Christ and being a fisher of men are not independent of each other, but they're divinely intertwined. This brings up a question. If you're not fishing, are you really following? To me, it's very significant that Jesus spoke of missions in some of his very first words as well as in some of his very last words. He simply couldn't stop thinking about the world. Jesus. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Jesus had raised from the dead, appeared on the road to Emmaus to a couple of disciples, and they were sad, and they believed that Jesus was going to overthrow Rome. And Jesus meets them in Luke 24. Remember, these are his departing words. These were heavy words, profound, very deeply moving words. These are the last words of Jesus. No small talk here. The words were weighty with meaning. Well, Jesus wasn't going to die. He had already died. He had risen, and now he is appearing to his disciples. And he's going to be leaving them finally to go to be with his Father. And in verse 44, look at verse 44, he says this. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding and that they might comprehend the scripture. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things." Jesus' message here involved two major themes. Jesus must suffer and die and rise again to fulfill what is written in the law of the prophets. And then in verse 47, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. The word nation means ethno. It's not for a geographic area, but a people group that speak a certain language. Those 16,000 people groups of the world that I was speaking about in the statistics. That's what he's talking about. Now, the New Testament hadn't been written at this point. So where do you think Jesus went to teach them the gospel being preached to all the nations? He turned to, it says it here in verse 44. He took them to the law of Moses, to the prophets, and to the Psalms. He took them to the Old Testament. That's right. God's missionary heart that beat for the nations didn't just suddenly appear in the New Testament. It's been there from the beginning. God's heart has been for the world from the beginning of time. When he came and he said, "Abraham, you are mine, and I am going to bless you, and you're going to be a blessing to the nations."
I'm going to use you. That's our God. Our missionary God. From the law of Moses to the prophets to the Psalms, they all speak about God's heart to reach and bless the nations, beginning with Abraham. Make no mistake about it, God is a missionary God. And that brings us to another question. If God is a missionary God, then what kind of people should we be? Did you know that no matter how diligent I study the Word of God, I can't find a biblical basis for missions? The word missions is not in the Bible. But I have discovered that missions is the basis of the whole Bible. It is our call. It is our duty. It's our purpose. It's why Jesus came. And missions theology permeates the whole thing. From cover to cover, the entire Bible is about an amazing missionary God revealing His love to the lost mankind that He's trying to reach. Making His glory known to them. So why missions? Because God is a missionary God. Also, because salvation is found in Jesus Christ. In Him alone. If man could be saved by any other means other than Jesus, not only did Jesus die in vain, but my job and Terry's job and all the pastors' jobs is the worst job in the world. And missionaries are crazy. Some of you think we're crazy anyway. But according to Acts chapter 4, verse 12, salvation is found in Him alone. Verse 12 says this of Acts 4. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There are two very important phrases in this passage. First, it says under heaven. That means all of the earth. Under heaven. Second, given to among men. Not just the Jews, but among all mankind. Jesus. He is the only way for all of mankind. In fact, He even said it in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I've had the privilege of traveling over the world to share the gospel with different people. And I've looked into the eyes of the Buddhist. And I've looked into the eyes of the Hindu, and the Muslim. And I tell you, their religion has not fulfilled the void in their hearts. They're empty. There's no hope beyond the grave. A few years ago, a friend of mine was in India. And he visited the temple of the dead. And he had a chance to spend some time with a Hindu priest there, talking with the Hindu priest. And after getting to know him a little bit, he asked him some simple questions. He's a guru, a religious man. He wanted to know what he had to give, what he had to share. He asked him some simple questions. Has your religion satisfied you? Do you have hope beyond this life? And he looked at him with empty eyes, and that emptiness gave away the reality of what was in his heart. And he said, no, I have no satisfaction, and I have no hope of the life after this one. That was the priest. He's not a practitioner. He's the quote unquote holy man. He's the one that's supposed to have the answers. And he said, there is no hope. Why missions? Because Those who don't have Christ in this life will never find true peace in this life. And the worst yet is they die apart from Jesus and they will face eternity in hell. Do you believe in hell? Something we don't like to talk about in church much anymore. Church, we like to try to excuse the idea of hell because it offends people. But without hell, there's no urgency. Why do we have to hurry up? Why do we have to tell anybody? Jonathan Edwards, a Christian theologian, said he wished that every Christian could dangle in front of hell for just 1 minute so they could experience the reality of it. Why missions? Because there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only way. And the world must know the truth. Salvation is found not in Muhammad. It's not in Buddha. Not in Confucius. Not in the 33 million Hindu gods. Not in religion. It is found only in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Why missions? Because doing missions is in your own best interest. Why do you say that, Sean? Here on earth, I have found no greater thrill, no greater adventure than to lead others to Christ. Those that have never heard or understood the good news of Jesus Christ. In 2006, I went to Afghanistan. I traveled 34 hours in an airplane. I traveled 16 hours in a truck and went by the bombed out tanks in Afghanistan from the war, seeing guys with AK-47s on the side of the road. I mean, the adventure was pretty intense. It was cool, at least for me. Maybe not for you guys. But what was even greater than that was this. I started to share the good news of the gospel in the northwest area of Afghanistan. Shared with a little village of people. We had done some distribution. We'd given them some things and we were sharing the gospel with them. And the leader of the village came up and he responded, thank you for coming and telling us about this Jesus Christ. This was the first time anyone had ever come and told us this. He said, thank you. With tears rolling down his cheek, he said, you've come all this way. You've traveled all this way to tell us this. And I want to say thank you. The heat and the sweat and the difficult conditions were all worth it. We had been the first to tell this man the greatness of our King and his love for his people in Afghanistan. God loves the people of Afghanistan. The same thing is happening in Chihuahua among the Tarahumara Indians. God is bringing his love and his glory to these people. It's beautiful. Why missions? Because missions is in your own best interest. And there is no other place on earth that I would have rather been than right there. Yes, we give up comfort and we give up our food and give up comfortable beds sometimes. But what do we gain? We gain brothers and sisters in the Lord from all around the world. Jesus kept his promise in Luke 9, verse 23 and 24, when he said this, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." In doing missions, I had perhaps unknowingly been seeking my own best interest. For in laying down my life and those that were with me, we found true life. We found real life. Experienced abundant life. There's also reward that comes after this life. Matthew 16:27 says, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father and with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works." He rewards those that are obedient. There is reward coming, and it's in your own best interest. And lastly, why missions? Because God told us to go. Jesus, before he ascended into heaven, he didn't give the great suggestion. He didn't say, "If you want to do this, you know, just consider it." You know? No, he didn't say that. He gave us a great commission. He said, "Go." Matthew 28:19. Pastor Terry read it right before we started. "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations." It didn't say, "Go and make disciples of your neighborhood. And don't worry about anybody else." He said, "All the nations." So we as a church need to be concerned, not just with our neighborhood, which is very important. Don't get me wrong. And not just our city. God's heart's for the world. The 7 billion people that live here. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit." Hudson Taylor said this, "The Great Commission is not an option to be considered, but a command to be obeyed." Matthew 24:14 says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." Every Christian is responsible to take the gospel to the lost. My question to you is, do you believe that for you? See, God wants to use you. If God's transformed our hearts, if God's transformed you, and you know the love, and you know the joy that comes through relationship with Jesus, how can you keep it to yourself? You got to give it away. Start right where you're at. Start right at your job. Start right in the grocery store. Be that witness for the Lord. Don't hold back. I love the analogy. If I had the cure to cancer, if you had the cure to cancer, would it be wrong for me to keep it to myself? Absolutely. We have the cure to life. There are people walking around dead. They're zombies. They have no life, though they're living. and they need life. And the only way that comes is not through yoga. It's not through, well, let's just get in tune with the green things of the world. It's not in any of that. It's in Jesus Christ alone. That's the truth. So, let's make His last command our first priority. Amen? So, some of you might be asking yourself, so what can I do? How can I be a part? How can I be a part of this? So I'm going to give you a couple things to think about. First, you can be a mobilizer. Do all you can to pass on this information, to share the love of Christ, to take the Word of God. Just carry this around with you. Just carry it. Wherever you go, just carry this with you. People ask you, what are you carrying? Oh, it's a Bible. Ooh, one of those people. Right? Well, I am kind of like that. Let me tell you. And just start to love on them. Be a mobilizer. Get involved with outreach here at the church. Get involved in any way you can. Be a gatherer of missions information. Pray for the world. Be a part of the Sunday night prayer time. Pray for the unreached peoples of the world. Second, you can be a sender. Some of you have the gift of giving. Use your gift. God's given it to you. You love to give. Give. Give financially. Give prayerfully. Give however God puts it on your heart to give. Get behind those that are doing the things that are reaching those areas of the world. Use your gift. Get behind your missionaries. Help send them out as if they were your children. How would you send your child out? Oh, here's a couple bucks. Right? Send them out well. Get behind your pastor. Get behind those that are going out from here. However the Lord calls, just get behind them. And be used by the Lord. Some of you have the gift of hospitality. Be hospitable. Invite them in. Have them stay at your house. Have them over for dinner. Listen to their stories. Get excited. That's what Terry did this week. He went and got excited by the pastor's conference. Oh Lord, give me more so I can give more out. And then you can be a goer. If you're feeling the call to go, some of you this morning are feeling the call to go. You feel like, okay, Lord, something's stirring. I challenge you to sit down with your pastor. Share what's happening. Share what God's beginning to do. Start to pray. Start to see. Start to envision what God may want to begin to accomplish. Pray. Seek God's timing. You want to hear something really strange? God gave me the call to go on the mission field 15 years before I went on the field. And all that time I was like, Lord, I'm ready. Lord, I'm ready. And 15 years later, I went to the field. Full time. Go on as many mission trips. Be involved in the church. Be involved right here. How can the church get involved, get behind you if they don't know who you are? So if you're not serving, then don't expect to be sent out from here. You need to be a part of this. Be serving and be a part of this place. And be excited about what God's doing. And take the gospel wherever you go. And that may be across the ocean for some of you. So that's my challenge this morning. So a couple things to walk away with.
If you're not really fishing, are you really following? Are you fishing for people? Do you go into the places that you go during the day, seeing the people there as opportunities to share with? And praying, not just being like a Bible thumper and say, you need Jesus, every person you come up to. That's not good, okay? No one likes that, okay? But you can be strategic. And you can ask, Lord, give me an opportunity. Open the door. And God will open it. He will. And just walk through it. Open your mouth and share. For some of you, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Because you're not saved. You don't know Jesus. And you know what? As I shared this morning, there is no way to heaven except through Jesus Christ. If you don't know Jesus, you need Him this morning. He died. He rose again. He became the perfect sacrifice for you. Because He loves you. And He wants relationship with you so bad. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Heavenly Father, I know that the burning ambition of your Son's heart is to rescue lost souls from every nation, every tribe, and every tongue. Lord, your desire is to populate heaven with worshipers from around the world. Worshipers who will endlessly pour out their praises from their hearts to your throne. Lord, give us your heart tonight, today. Lord, give us your heart. May we desire to reach this world. Lord, starting with our neighbors down the street. Lord, give us a passion to accomplish your great commission. Lord, help us to love people like you love them. Help us to care for people. If you're here right now and you don't know Jesus, Jesus is calling you. He's calling your name. He says, come to me. But the important thing is you've got to recognize your sin. You've got to recognize that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And if that's you this morning, I want you to know that Jesus is waiting. All you have to do, right there in your seat, all you have to do is say, Lord, I believe. Jesus, I believe. I believe that you are God. And I repent for my sin. I believe that you died and rose again for me. And I make you Lord of my life. All you have to do is pray that in your heart. And He comes in. And He takes residence in your life. Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving me and saving us. We have so much to be thankful for. Lord, help us to take this precious message, your gospel. Help us to take this to the lost. Help us to be that witness wherever we go. In Jesus' name, amen.